Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You have reached the center of the sports universe. All lines are busy. Please be patient. Greg Cody will be with you shortly.
No, they can suck it. They can suck it. And
wow.
Yeah, no, they can. And here's the other thing.
This is the Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody.
Pardon it.
Here's your host, Greg Cody.
Greg Cody, are you actually here?
Yes, I'm so frazzled right now.
Why are you here? We were about to start the episode. This is the episode we've started, by the way. We wanted to do a whole thing. We were going to call you and you were going to be frantic on with the Geek Squad when all you probably had to do was restart the router. What happened?
Okay, first of all, I am frantic. I just went through a half hour of holy hell. A guy from the Geek Squad, he's giving me directions I don't know how to do, you know, restart your router. I don't know what a router is.
That's what I said. Wait a minute. I called you and said, did you do that? And now you're saying you don't know what a router is?
I have two big, tall towers here. God. I don't know which is the router and which is what's the name for the other one. But it was a technological nightmare in the last 45 minutes.
You just lost internet for a few minutes.
No, but the frustration was, I don't want to get in the weeds here, but I had no internet, even though it said connected and secured. So I don't know what that's a dichotomy there.
How did it get fixed?
Well, the gentleman from Geek Squad was very helpful.
What was the fix? Like, walk us through this. I need to know exactly what the fix was.
He told me to unplug the router and wait 15 or 30 seconds and plug it back in. And I did.
I asked you if you did that, and you said, of course, you dismissively.
I said I restarted.
No, Dad, you had a tone of course, Christopher. Why would I be on the phone with Geek Squad if I hadn't already done that? That was the tone that you gave me.
Okay, well, by the way, your call to me disconnected my original Geek Squad, a young lady, and I had to learn call back.
Learn how to, because you just probably hit end call after, didn't you?
No, I didn't think I did. I think I put hold, accept and hold as a... Something like that.
That's when you answered my call. But then when our call ended, that's when you just don't do anything and you'll go back to your previous call.
All right. I got devices out the ass here. I got a PC. I got a laptop. I got an iPhone. None of them were working.
I think a good place to start while you get settled here, because I'm sure you got all the stuff. We didn't even have a pre-show meeting. We are frantic right now. But let's start with the injury report, because Yeti and I both got stuff. Yeti sounds stuffed up. How you doing, Yeti?
I'm all right, better than last Saturday. So
yeah, Yeti's been going through it. But we'll get to Yeti's and yours, Dad, your ailments in a second. But this week's version of the injury report, I got results back from my blood work.
And
for the first time in my life, fellas, don't feel great about this. I have high cholesterol.
Whoa. Ooh.
That is the least surprising thing I've heard in my life.
Wow.
With your diet?
What do you mean? Wow.
I mean, I'm not glad to hear it.
Dad, your diet is worse than mine.
Greg, the roast was a few weeks ago.
And I'm on cholesterol medication. Welcome to the club.
That's the thing. The guy suggested the medication, and I was like, wait, this is my first time hearing this. Can I do some lifestyle things here? Like, I don't want to, like, go on medicine for the rest of my life. Like, I'm not prepared to go on this cholesterol medicine. I'm like, how serious is this? Can I just like try to like eat better and work out? Like, he's like, yeah, it's just a recommendation. And I'm like, but should I do it? Like, it was a weird moment of like, how bad do I need this medicine, doctor? Please don't think about the money it's going to make it's a weird thing. It's that, because I'm watching all these documentaries about big pharma.
Oh no.
And in my mind, I'm just like, do I need this medicine, or is this all just a big make money?
See, I have the total opposite opinion to you. I want to continue to eat copious amounts of chicken wings and continue to not work out and just take a magic cholesterol pill that makes it all go away.
Not me.
That's my attitude.
Not me. I'm very skeptical. I believe that I need this medicine. I was just like, I wanted to gauge his, like, can I just try? He's like, you can try to do that stuff and we can come back in 6 months. But he's like, if you're asking me though, I recommend you take this medicine. I was like, so I got the prescription. I haven't started taking it yet, but so you think I should take it then?
What's it a prescription for? What is it for?
Lipitor.
Oh, Lipitor. Wow. Okay.
What's that? Am I getting too personal here?
No, it's a cholesterol medicine.
I've heard of it before. It's just a cholesterol medicine, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Now, that's the thing. I've had the doctors prescribe me in my hospital visits over the last couple of months, like five or six different things that I've not picked up just because, like, I'm not taking that. Like, they try to prescribe me Oxycontin when I was having my stomach pain issues the other day or a few weeks ago. See? And I was like, I'm not going to do that because I don't want opiates and things like that. So I don't want to be
taking medicine. I know I'm going to, at some point in my life, like my dad, have to just take medicine to live.
I take 7 pills a day plus my inhalers.
Exactly.
You can help manage your cholesterol. Maybe you have to skip a second meal every now and then.
He said seafood. I knew I don't eat that much fast food, but he said fast food. He's like, just work out a little bit. Mm-hmm. But then he said seafood. And I was like, wow, I thought seafood was actually, whenever I eat seafood, I feel like I'm not eating terrible.
Well, are you eating fried fish? I think that has a lot to do with it.
No, he said like shrimp.
Really?
Yeah, he said shrimp specifically. And I love shrimp. I mean, I don't eat it like a ton, but I'm a big fish and shrimp guy.
Love me some shrimp.
That was my dad's original dad joke. I'm on a seafood diet. When I see food, I eat it.
That's the original.
That was the original dad joke.
Some of it's genetic too, though. My wife is really physically fit, and she typically reads high on the cholesterol charts. Mm-hmm. And her dad did the same.
I wasn't in the alarming area, but just on his scale of, I was like at the top. I was like, oh man, I don't like that. But wow. Enough about me. How are you guys feeling?
Yeti, what was your injury report?
I was just sick last week. I did go to the doctor because I knew I had a sinus or upper respiratory infection. So I wanted to knock it out so I wouldn't have to miss work because we had a big rollout this week. And so I've just been really drainy all week and stuff.
Draining it.
But I'm here. My voice is extra low this week. But,
okay.
Hello.
Well, my injury report is they're hooking me up with some sleep apnea machine that I gotta wear something on my finger at night. And
I just did a study last night. I just did my at-home study.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, a sleep test to see if you need it.
Yeah. Oh, you guys are on that too. Mine's gonna be delivered.
No, Dad, this is the test though. Like, you're not getting hooked up to a sleep apnea machine. You're doing a sleep test, correct?
I don't know.
A sleep test to see if you need
it. Yes, that's what it is.
It could be.
Yeah, hook it up to your finger. Yours will either have something you hook to your chest, or maybe you've got something that goes into your nose as well. There's a couple different ones. I've taken two because the first one didn't record.
I just love how you come home from the doctor and you start telling people, I'm using a sleep apnea machine tonight.
It's got to do with Bluetooth. It's hooking me up to Bluetooth or something. I don't know what it is. They all talk in hieroglyphics. The oral version of hieroglyphics. I can't understand it. I need somebody to go to the doctor with me. I need a doctor to go to the doctor with me and interpret everything they're saying. It's ridiculous. Sleep apnea.
You're wild, man.
Bluetooth.
Has your wife, like, said she has, as Earlene said, she has concerns about you having sleep apnea?
Doesn't mom need, I thought mom snores a little bit.
We both snore. Oh. The dog snores. Jumping Charlie snores. We're a snoring house.
Snoring Charlie.
God, what an annoying room that must be at, like, the peak of it when you're all sleeping.
Oh, my God.
My mom discovered my dad's sleep apnea because she would walk in, he'd be asleep on his back. And Dad was a really large dude, you know, but he'd breathe in and he'd stop breathing. And she's like, what is going on?
Yeah.
And like 30 or 45 seconds later, she's like, holy crap, is he dead? You know? And then he'd start breathing out and his feet would shake as he'd do it. And
I've never experienced that. Yeah. I've experienced with my friend Joey, where it's just like a violent waking up where it's like, it's like a huge snore that like wakes you up and all of a sudden you're awake. Cause like you've like briefly stopped breathing.
and it destroys your rest for the night. And the less sleep you get, it, you know, messes all things up, including your testosterone.
Look at us. How about the injury report? We are old.
That's a long ass injury report, by the way. I think we need to get off that and move on.
Oh, Dad's like, I think we got to get to something really substantial here. Here's 3 dad jokes.
No. Listen, first of all, we have
anything but that. Anything but that.
Okay, we have to acknowledge the elephant in the room, which is that we are located in the sports capital of the universe with Lionel Messi.
Oh,
is it Lionel or Lionel? I've heard both. It's Lionel Messi and the Miami Heat,
and still the Florida Panthers. Talk this slow, despite us being in the epicenter of the sports world.
That's why you listen at 1.8.
I'm actually very excited right now.
I am very excited. But we'll talk about that later. Before we get to dad jokes and three facts,
we could celebrate Messi. There's nothing keeping us from celebrating Messi.
Okay. Here's the thing about Messi. First of all, little birdies are telling me that it's not a done deal yet. It will be. I'm not sounding alarms here, but there are a lot of, you know, it's a complicated deal because it involves the league. It involves the league partners such as Apple Plus TV. So there's a lot of moving parts.
He's trying to get paid.
Essentially.
And in America, right?
Right.
That's like, it's hard for, is he using Inter Miami here just to grow the Messi brand? Like, no, it's good for both sides. So like, I don't know why we would be like, do you genuinely want to be here? Is this all about the money? Like, I'll take it.
Well, when you talk about growing the Messi brand, though, he has gotten a lot of criticism in Europe for taking the easy way out, for going to America where the brand of soccer is lower, where he will have to work less hard, where he will do better just on his name.
You can say that, but he's done everything he needs to do over there. They can all suck it.
Like, I agree.
They can all eat it.
Eat what?
No, they can suck it. I don't know. They can suck it.
Wow.
Yeah, no, they can. And here's the other thing, Barcelona. You brought this on yourself. Leo wanted to go back home to the club, the beloved club that raised him from the age of 13.
Why didn't he? Why? Are you sure that he just didn't leverage where he wanted to be and got the most out of it?
No.
I'm pretty sure he could have been anywhere he wanted to be. So why wouldn't, like,
because Barcelona is in financial dire straits. Barcelona has become such a financial mess that the only way he could go back to Barcelona is on some sort of a sweetheart loan from Inter Miami at this point.
Right, but you're assuming he wanted to go back there. Like, that's where he wanted to be, but they screwed it up. It's like, no, he's been there. He won the World Cup. He's like, I'll go to Miami now, live in America, and crush it there, because that's an untapped region almost for me.
He spent more than 20 years with Barcelona. That's his club.
Right, but going back to that's like odd. It's like he's done everything there. He's a god there. It's like,
after a couple of years with Inter Miami, he's going to go back to Barcelona and play a final ceremonial type season.
Really?
With Barcelona, yes.
All right, we'll mark it for the Wayback Machine. I doubt that, but you never know.
You can bank it.
Is that like you are? Is there anything there that like that? Is that being reported, or you just think that?
Have you written that yet?
No, it will happen. I'm all of a sudden I'm turning into Mike Ryan, where I'm saying something 3 years ahead of the fact and hoping it comes true. And when it comes true, I'm acting like I invented the idea.
Greg, you need to put that in your next article. You actually saying something like Greg actually saying like
reporting something,
making a take.
This is not a report, though, Dad. They're right. This is a prediction.
It's an opinion.
It's an opinion. Sure. Like, I don't have sources in Barcelona giving me inside information. What are you, nuts?
But you know you could. Like, I love how you act like that is just like a wild thing. Like,
after he plays a couple of years for Inter Miami, he will end his career in Barcelona, and he will become Barcelona's vice president of being Lionel Messi.
But he'll play for them? Like, at that point, like, Barcelona's a team that tries to compete for titles. Like, you're saying, like, they'll just let some 40-year-old guy who's, like,
He will play one ceremonial year for them. He will start in the opener. He will come off the bench to raucous applause. He will start in the final game of the season and play 90 minutes.
Does this happen in soccer a lot? Like, did Beckham go back to where he was? Like,
I haven't researched the history of that.
maybe like a one-day contract. Like, I'm with you that when it's all said and done, he will have a status there and will go back there and be celebrated there. Like, I'm with you there. But like, I just like this whole season that you have, like, I just feel like you're pulling it out of your front.
Okay, we'll see. You know, check back in 3 years.
I want you to pitch this when we have Ray Hudson on. I want you to pitch this to him and see how much he laughs.
I love that, actually. We need to do that.
Yeah, I do want to have Rocky Ray on soon to talk about Messi, because let's forget about Messi going back to Barcelona, which will happen, even though you doubt it. What I want to talk about is Messi coming to Miami and how seismic that is. Here's how big it was.
I mean, you brought up the Barcelona stuff. Yeah, go ahead.
Tony the K had me back on his show this week to talk about being the center of the sports universe. That's how big it is. Miami is the king of the globe right now, and Messi makes it so.
Did you tell him that you forgot that he joined us?
No, I did not. I neglected to say that. But he's always grateful to have me on, as I am grateful to be on his rarefied air. But that's how big Messi is. Even, look, Kornheiser and me are old. We remember when Pelé was the name in soccer, right? That was the golden name. Messi is now the golden name in soccer. And even though he's 35 years old, almost 36, we're going to get him at the end of his prime. But make no mistake, it is the end of his prime. He is not a has-been yet, by any means. He just led his team to the World Cup. He's still, even though he had two chaotic, disappointing years with Paris Saint-Germain, he's still at the top of his game.
No, he's not
the apex of his game.
Okay, well, that the hell's still, the difference. What are you talking about here? Like, come on, you just...
He's still playing at a high level is like, what you're saying.
He's LeBron James right now. He's still...
That's exactly right. That's a
top.
Analogy.
He's still a top-tier player, but he's getting towards where people are like, is he a top-tier player?
Right. I don't think anybody is going, can he still play? Especially after his crowning achievement just last summer.
No, he can still play, but he's not like he's more with the pack now, I'd say.
He's a magic name. Pardon me. I'm getting all choked up here.
I agree. He is a magic name.
He's going to come on the Major League Soccer pitch.
He's going to sell our tickets is what he's going to do.
He's going to be noticeably the best player in the game. Noticeably the best player. And imagine the t-shirt sales. I mean, what a moneymaker. The
I saw
value
that
of the franchise has just skyrocketed.
I saw that they already, Inter Miami, in the last, since this announcement, have become the fifth most followed American sports team on social media.
Yep.
Right.
Already.
Oh, yeah.
They have they got to 7 million followers, which is only behind like the Celtics, the Lakers, the Warriors. And
right.
But they're on pace, like with how fast they went up, like they're going to be third soon. Like they're not that far behind. Fourth and fifth, like third and fourth. So like the Warriors were number one, which was surprising. I knew the Lakers would be up there, but the Warriors have the most followed social media account. I guess that's the Steph Curry effect.
What people don't realize is that internationally right now, because of Messi, Inter Miami is the biggest team in this market internationally. Like the Dolphins have a really big international following, particularly in England. The Dolphins are really big in the UK. I've witnessed that myself when I've been over there for a game. But right now, it pales in comparison. As you just said, anecdotally, with all the increase in social media now, all eyes are on Inter Miami because of Messi, not because of David Beckham or anything like that.
I feel like whenever there's an NFL game in London, when the journalists go over that week, you're going to see a lot of those jerseys around town. Like that'd be like a Jags reporter coming back and being like, you know, there's a big Jags following in London. I went there because I covered a game.
It'd be weird if you went to see Jags Ravens and there were a bunch of Dolphins jerseys
then
in the stadium.
Then you'd be like, there's a big Dolphins following. But like, like, you went and covered a Dolphins game. Like, I'm sure when there's a Raiders game in town, I'm sure you see a lot of Raiders. You see what we're doing here? We're like,
There are major Dolphins fan clubs throughout the UK.
Okay,
I don't know whether
you want to do this game. I can find a Raiders bar.
Google. I want you live on the air right now.
Raiders bar in London.
I want you to Google most popular NFL team in London.
Top 10 Raiders bars in London. Yell.
Google what I said. What is the most popular NFL team in the UK?
Okay.
Greg, while he's doing that, I think what you're saying is right now, Inter Miami has the headline factor that is one key into becoming like the superstar franchise or a superstar player, which I want to get to you on Nikola Jokic or Jokic or whatever we call him.
Jokic.
On that, because I actually agree with you and Stugatz a little bit on your argument that he's not a superstar.
I have results here.
Go for
it. Dallas Cowboys, number one. Giants, number two. Jets, number three. Dolphins, four. Bears, five.
I dispute those results.
I mean, this is most popular NFL teams in the United K as of the fourth quarter of 2022.
Okay. Statista.com. Okay.
Yeah, that's actually a win for you. I love how you're not taking that. They're the fourth. They're like, they are one of like, you could make.
Yeah, Dolphins are number one. Okay. Yeti, what you just said misrepresents me a little bit. I never said Jokic wasn't a superstar. He's the best player in the league. He's the biggest, best man, big man over Giannis, over Embiid.
Nobody's disputing that.
He's just not in great shape, yeah, Dad. Like, you want a six-pack.
No, no. No, here's the thing. There's a difference between being the best player and being a superstar, okay? And I think this is what you are trying to say. Now, this is Greg explaining, but, like, this is... I feel like this is what you were trying to say, but, like, Doris Burke on Friday's Levitard show started to hit at this, and I was like, okay, cool, this is good. But Van Pelt used to do something on his old show where he basically say, are they talking about you on The View? And basically, have you reached across the sports nerd aisle to get the average person who might not even turn on a game? Do they know your name? Does my wife, who doesn't watch sports, does she know your name? And that's when you've started reaching superstar status. Your talent gets you to a certain point, but then there's something else about your charisma, your character, you making appearances in non-sports places that gets attention. That's you reach, like, superstar level.
But who's there besides LeBron in the NBA?
Steph Curry, easy.
Okay, Steph Curry. That's about
I'm not saying it has to be that, but that's one of the key factors that makes someone like an absolute superstar, like Michael Jordan. Like, I don't know the numbers on how many times I could turn on the TV and see him in a commercial, but I had, like, Gatorade, I had Nike, I had Hanes at least. And for your primetime television viewing, that's a fair amount of commercials.
The problem with Jokic is that he's from Serbia. Most people don't even know what he sounds like when he speaks because they've never heard him speak. He's a dull player on the court to me. He shoots three-point shots flat-footed like Red Klotz. And he plays in Denver.
What is that reference?
Red Klotz from the Washington Generals. That was the team that was the
Globetrotters, right?
So you just felt like, I get it. A lot of times he just ends up in the paint with the ball up and he either shoots it, makes a dope pass. Like, I'm with you. Like, he's not running the court at great speeds. When he was going after a loose ball at one point in the last game, it looked all clunky and weird.
The dope pass is where he really stands out.
Like, he's great. That's what I mean. I actually, Mike Fuentes from the Levitard Show made the best analogy of this conversation of what Jokic is. I made the compare. I said that he's really great at missionary sex. That was my analogy at missionary sex. Like, he's like the best guy you've ever had at missionary sex.
What's wrong with that?
That's what we're trying to say, Dad. What's wrong with that? And you're criticizing it. You want some, like, freaky stuff. And he's just giving, you the, like, he's just looking you right in the eye, belly to belly. And he's just like, I'm never going to be done. I'm going to go
first
forever.
First of all.
But I'd even make, I want, Mike Fuentes' analogy is better than that one even. Because I think that's a decent one of just explaining what Jokic is. He says he's an Oscar quality film that you have no interest in. It's like the best picture that you don't want to watch. It's beautiful. It's artistic. It'll make you feel something, but it's not exciting. And it's like you watch it and you almost feel sad after. That's what he is. But the one scene, the pass in the thing where he hits a guy cutting, that's the scene that they play in at the Oscars when it's right. Like, now the nominees, Jokic, and then they show a scene, that's him in the paint, just making a sick pass to a cutting guy for a dunk.
It's crazy that he does those no-look passes like he's a little point guard. It's just incredible what he does on the floor.
That's a good analogy. You got to come up with something better than he's boring to watch. Because it's not, like, it's... You're just kind of going for the easy, like, you got to explain yourself better because you're not even conveying what you really want to convey.
I'll go with the Red Klotz analogy. I think that's my version of the foreign film. That
you might be the only person who knows the name of any of the Washington Generals.
Yeah, Red Klotz, KLOTZ.
I've seen the Globetrotters live once, and I don't know any of them.
Jeremy Taché said he's Greg Maddux.
Yeah, that was a pretty good one.
He's Greg Maddux, who's not going to blow anything by. Randy Johnson, Pedro Martinez, Roger Clemens, much more fun to watch pitch.
Okay.
But he's going to play. Dad, see, why are you like...
Maddux will slice you and dice you to death, but, like, I've never seen Greg Maddux on a commercial.
Why are you dismissing these analogies? We're trying to explain what you and Stugatz are just saying. He's boring. I don't like to watch him. Layer your opinion.
I don't need to be explained to on why I
say
think.
You just want to say he. I don't like watching him. He's not fun to watch.
Right. I love Jokic. I love his game. He's the reason that they're kicking the Heat's ass. He and Murray and Bruce Brown good. And everybody they're else on that
good.
Great team.
They're too good. That's it.
They're too good.
Yeah.
But and Jokic is. I give him all the credit in the world. I just don't particularly enjoy watching him, that's all.
Telling you, it's the arms. It's this area. It's like from his shoulder to his elbow.
That is there area, noise right now? Do you hear noise?
No.
You might hear some from where I'm at.
Okay, I've got a guy like right outside my window
now. No, I'm not here.
Blowing
that.
my lawn.
Whoa. No. I love how my dad goes, are you guys making noise? And we're like, oh,
somebody's
maybe
blowing me.
Us. No, it's some guy blowing me outside my window.
Well, he's blowing my lawn.
Yeah.
Way to go, lawn.
Yeah.
Okay.
Baby.
All right. We've talked enough about illnesses, our injury report, and Jokic. We weren't even supposed to be talking yet about the NBA. But
why? What I want to talk about next, Dad, because like we got a fun episode coming up here where we're recording this on Saturday, but later today we have the Panthers game. So tomorrow we're going to reconvene with some real like hockey results and give you the latest. But in a few hours, my dad and I will be attending the Sheets and Giggles sponsored watch. Well, it's not like I keep wanting to call it a watch along, but we're not watching the game there. We're all going to the game. It's a pregame hangout.
An occurrence.
Obviously, it already happened if you're listening to this. But what I really, why I'm bringing it up right now is because we're going to do some content there. Me and my dad will do. So you'll hear from us shortly from there. But what are you doing, Dad?
What the hell?
Just experimenting on how that looked.
Guys, let me try out new looks on the Zoom.
Dad, I'm in the middle of doing the show.
Go ahead.
Like, what was what was I saying? It just rattled me. Okay. So,
you're trying to talk about the quarter deck, and then
okay, this is it. Just thank you, yeah, God. Like, just playing defense.
Oh, no, now we've lost him.
And yeah, whenever he genuinely he finds himself so funny in this spot. He was making a fish face. It was just like he was like a puffer fish. Like if I told you, hey, with your face, make a puffer fish, that's what my dad was doing.
Here's the thing. Sheets and Giggles is calling this thing an occurrence, quote unquote, which I love. When did an event become an occurrence?
That's a Levitard show, like inside joke. The Billy and I have had some occurrences.
If you
before.
Actually listened, you might know.
Yeah,
that.
I mean, Jesus.
You know, way to support your son.
That's a great concept. Who thought of that? The Levitard
I didn't,
show.
I haven't heard it said. Sorry.
I've nerd it said. I am looking forward to my dad being awkward at this because Zaslow's going to be there.
Oh, yeah.
And just in general, my dad in these type of settings, like he already is doing this thing where he wants to show up with me because he doesn't want to walk in alone. Because I was like, oh, I'm going to go up at this time. And he's like, oh, I'm going to show up. Can you show up with me at this time? I want to walk in together. And he made all that. So he's going to be awkward. And I like, you know, him and Zaslow are going to act like they're best friends. But
will we?
Maybe we'll talk to Zaslow. Maybe we'll maybe we'll bring him on the
get
Greg
Zaslow
show.
On the show.
Ooh, that'd be good.
How
Let's
about
do that.
What if you told Zaslow your dad jokes?
Oh,
I kind of want you to do your dad jokes at the occurrence tonight. Actually.
No, that's not going to happen.
Why?
Oh, come
Dad?
On. I think that's great.
Dad, that's actually really good. We'll like bring a crowd of like people there that are there to hang out with us. And we'll be
it's
like,
Greg
all right.
Cody's dad joke of the week.
Yeah, no, I don't want to do that.
Dad, you'll get honestly, they'll all these people, they're drinking, they're fans of the show. They're going to fake laugh. Like
it's a staple. We've made this a staple of the show. It's an occurrence for the show. Either dad jokes or three facts, Jack.
No, those are too long. Those are too wordy.
And now after he's got to read that. Well, from the beginning in 1942.
Actually, one does involve 1942, I think. No, it doesn't. It involves 1897.
Wow, my dad's just... I see what's happening here. My dad's not proud of the dad joke segment.
He's no, it's the dad jokes I don't love. The first one I almost hate. The last two make a little bit of a rally.
Oh, it's a bad batch. It's a bad batch.
Yeah.
Yeah. You've got time.
So we want to do the dad jokes right now.
Yeah. You could also remember, because we're not doing that for a few hours, you could get off here and be like, you know what? I gotta get a good three for this. And then you come with new ones.
So do we want to do three facts, Jack, right now?
Sure. Go for it. I don't have a sounder today, but go for it. There's three things that interest him. So sit right back for three facts, Jack. Boom.
Number three. The world's longest running Sunday comic strip is the 109-year run of the Katzenjammer Kids, which ran from 1897 to 2006. It entailed the escapades of mischievous duo Hans and Fritz. Creator Rudolf Dierks and the Katzenjammer Kids were the first to use speech balloons to express character dialogue, a practice common to this day.
Where is that ran?
I zoned out. I don't even know what he
said. Like in the Sunday comics, you know, in newspapers and
In the States? I never heard of the Katzenjammer Kids.
Oh yeah, Katzenjammer Kids. Yeah.
I remember Andy Capp, but not Katzenjammer Kids.
Number two, the month of June is named for the Roman deity Juno, who is likened to the goddess Hera in Greek mythology. Juno is the goddess of marriage, love, and childbirth, could be why June is one of the three most popular wedding months, along with October and September.
Good movie.
Number one. This is my favorite because I have driven through this desert and rhapsodized over the vision of these things. The slowest growing plant in existence is the saguaro cactus, found only in the Sonoran Desert, stretching from California to Mexico to Arizona. Saguaro, the largest of all cacti, often reach only 1.5 inches tall their first 10 years and do not flower until age 35.
Baby.
Growing their iconic, oft-featured arms in Western films and desert art and such can take at least 50 years, and reaching their maximum height of 45 feet tall can take their entire lifespan of 175 to 200 years. The majestic saguaro cactus.
Did you say 45 or 425 feet tall? I've never seen a 45-foot tall cactus.
Yes, the maximum height of some 45 feet tall.
Hold on.
Yes, I have seen, I don't think I've ever seen 45 feet, but I have definitely seen like 30 feet tall of those in the desert. You know the ones I mean, right? With the arms coming out and everything.
Well, shit. You got it right.
Yeah.
The tallest cactus ever measured is 78 feet.
Well, there you go, Greg. I'm sorry. You said you've rhapsodized about those. Do you have any of your rhapsodies available?
No, I probably do have photographs I've taken. Balling the jack through the Sonoran Desert. I want to do the three dad jokes here.
Okay? Oh, dad. Yes. No, we're doing them later. We don't want them right now.
Okay. All right. I need to mention one thing before we wrap this up.
Before I go take a nap.
No. This is, I want to say an RIP. I want to give a shout out to Amu Haji, a hermit who lived and died in the Dega village of the Kermanshah province of Iran. He died an estimated 89 to 94 years old. The world's dirtiest man was his title. World's dirtiest man.
Like
he had
physically
not,
or figuratively?
No, listen. Amu Haji had not bathed the last 67 years of his life, earning the nickname World's Dirtiest Man because he believed soap and water would make him sick. Haji lived on a diet of rotten meat of dead animals, mostly porcupines.
What's happening right now?
He smoked a pack of cigarettes a day, and he also smoked dried animal feces out of a rusty pipe. He constantly was caked in ash and dirt. In his obituary, an Indian Times article referred to him as looking like the biblical Moses had fallen down a chimney.
You are the worst.
There are unique, unusual people all over the world. Amu Haji, you never bathed. We love you. R.I.P.
Show killer.
I can't believe you're using a man's death as a comedic bit. I applaud you. Like, look, I heard, Dad, that was the classic Greg Cody tone of, I'm saying something serious, but I want everyone to be smiling right now.
Smoked dried animal feces out of a rusty pipe.
There you go.
I love that. It took you 10 minutes to get to that.
I feel gross and I haven't showered since like yesterday morning.
I know.
His armpits must smell so bad. I mean, mine smell bad and I haven't showered in 24 hours.
Yeah, imagine standing next to this guy. I don't know how that works. Yeah, but now he's dead.
Jake Gyllenhaal apparently doesn't bathe that often.
Really?
You know, yeah.
Something Mila Kunis said something about. Yeah. She doesn't watch their kids or something unless they like go outside and play or something.
Yeah, if you told herself. Yeah.
If you told me I could only take one shower a week, that wouldn't bother me.
Ugh. What?
Yeah,
it wouldn't bother me. Shower every night. Every night. Gross.
No, it wouldn't bother me.
That is so gross because you actually, like, you wear the same shirt sometimes. You just wear the same jeans.
Right.
So it's like you just, like, will rock the same. You, like, just change underwear, same shirt, same jeans, yeah. No shower.
He doesn't change his underwear. We've covered this. Right before I started the show, it was unveiled that he'll go 2 or 3 days sometimes.
How do you feel about this last couple of minutes, Dad?
I love it. I don't mind that.
What he just revealed is that he did the obituary for his mentor, is what it is.
Yeah. All right. We'll see you quarter deck.
Go to the quarter deck. Save the episode. Let's go.
Nice chatting with you.
Well, Dad, we come to the audience right now.
Baby.
we failed yesterday to do any content at the at the watch party. Actually, we do have a clip.
We did.
I love how at the before in our pre watch party recording, we were very like, oh, we're going to talk to Zaslow. We're going to do dad jokes.
Right.
We didn't do any of that. We did take a small video that I'm going to play here so you can get a little feel for the thing.
Greg Cody. Yeah. Hey, are you guys happy to see the Greg Cody show? Zaslow's here too, yes!
Order seconded!
Greg Cody, no drink in hand, no beer. What is going on? Working it!
Working it!
So there you go. We got to thank Sheets and Giggles, Dad. How cool was this event? There were dozens of people there. Sheets and Giggles covered the whole bill, at least everything I drank.
Right.
I didn't see them stop at any point. You know, they said 200, but I'm sure they spent way more than that. You hung out with Zaslow. How'd that go for you?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, thanks Sheets and Giggles. And I remember one guy drove down from St. Petersburg.
Yeah.
He wasn't going to the game. He just drove down to St. Petersburg to say hello. And that was so cool.
My friend, our friend John, who works for a popular NHL show in Canada, that he's down here for the final. And he was like, all the crew was going back to the hotel, but I had to come here. He was there at quarterdeck 3 hours before because he wanted to see us. And he was so nice. Yeah. It's very humbling
and gratifying. Yeah, yeah. It really is. It's amazing. I bumped into the gentleman for the Panthers who does he's the DJ for the Panthers. Yeah. DJ Genesis is his name, and he's like a big fan of mine. And so for him to come up to me out of the blue in his DJ Genesis uniform, Panthers uniform, and say hello was great. Zaslow and I, shook hands and, passed along invisible olive branches. Look, we're fine. We barely know each other. We're like Levitard show enemies, but in real life, we're fine. We're good.
Zaslow's son was there. He's a big Panthers fan. Just a little mini Zaslow. I mean, he was like, this Panther team, awesome. And I was like, wow, he sounds just like him.
That was so cool to hear Zaslow say awesome, just like that in the wild. Not on the air, but in real life.
Yeah.
He actually says it just like that. Awesome.
Yeah.
It was great.
But Sheets and Giggles, once again, guys, go support them. They are the coolest. I'm going to Vegas for the Levitard show, and Colin has so many fun ideas for things we can do in Vegas to infiltrate. This guy is so much fun. He wants to do so many fun, creative things. Please support his company so he keeps supporting us. Sheetsgiggles.com/Greg, promo code NICEHAT. It's Father's Day coming up. Get something for your father. I'm telling you, I'm a father. I appreciate sleep more now than I ever have in my entire life, and good sleep is what Sheets and Giggles gives you. Great sheets, great pillows, a great bed. You can get the whole kit and caboodle for your dad this Father's Day. Sheetsgiggles.com/Greg, promo code NICEHAT.
And as a final shout out to that quote-unquote occurrence we had before the Panthers game, I want to...
Dad, admit it, you were a little... There was times where you were... I could sense you felt like there would be more people because we did it over a four-hour period.
Right, so, that's true.
There was never 50 people there at once. It was like you're talking to four or five people. They move on to go to their table and eat quarterdeck. And then other people walk up and people were kind of like waiting turns, like sitting at their table, saw that nobody was near us. So they would come up. It was scattered, but there were dozens of people that we met and that came out there for us. So, but I just felt like you wanted a line. There was a point where I looked at you and you kind of did a thing like, and I'm just like, Dad, this is a 4-hour meetup. Not everybody was going to be here at the same time waiting in line.
I have been forever spoiled by the most recent Moss Miami where literally hundreds of people are waiting in line to look at my toenail. And so I'm spoiled by that.
We're not the Levitard show yet. We're getting there.
I know.
We are growing. I mean, God
it was
speak.
Fun. It was
God,
great.
We're doing well right now. We appreciate the support because the podcast has been doing really well. And we appreciate all of you and we love you.
Yes, we do.
But let's talk. Which sadness do you want to talk about? Me going to Vegas down 3-1 or the Heat being done?
Oh, man. Wow. Where do we start?
Which team has a better chance to bring it home to South Florida? To bring it back for a game 6?
Okay. Well, in that case, I think the Panthers do.
Same.
Now, a lot of it depends on, as we're speaking, Kachuk has an injury and his availability for Tuesday's game is in question.
He was pretty invisible. He seems hurt. It's weird right now. We're doing this thing with Jimmy and Kachuk. Kachuk just got into Jimmyville where he seems a little hurt. Seems a little hurt.
Yes. And so if Kachuk is unavailable, I don't think they have a whole lot of a chance in Vegas.
They don't got a Kachuk and chance.
Chance and Vance and that kind of thing. But no, I give the I still think the Panthers are as good a team as Vegas, despite the disparity in goals. Ugh. And I think that
they haven't looked it in the series. I'm with you that if we played this series again, it might be different, but they haven't looked like an equal team. This Vegas team is just annoyingly solid at everything, and I hate them.
You know, they've blocked 61 Panther shots in the last two games. I mean, they don't
let anything...
They got
the hot goalie now. They got the hot goalie now.
Right, exactly. And also, special teams has been a huge difference in this series. Vegas has scored 7 power play goals against Florida's penalty kill. The Panthers have gone 0 for the penalty.
And you're never going to win with that statistic. So, yeah, that's it.
It's tough. It's tough. I don't think either South Florida team is going to defy the odds and win the championship. But I think there's a fair chance that Panthers will get back. In Denver, you know, Denver has all the incentive in the world. They're playing for 56 years of franchise ineptitude. They finally are on the verge of winning the championship. They have the best player in the NBA in Jokic. They have a great supporting cast. And I think they're the better team than Miami. I think they've proved it. And I think they're gonna win.
Can we talk about the fact that you wrote a back in my day ripping preschool graduations and I think I saw you weeping at my daughter's on Sunday?
Yeah, you caught me. I did do a back in my day a couple of years ago. Back in my day, you know, the graduations were reserved for high school and college. Okay, that's where you wore the silly mortarboard with the tassel and you stood in a line and you got a diploma. And now...
But how adorable was it?
It was adorable. I gotta admit, the preschoolers, you know, they're all like 5 years old. They're wearing their mortar boards. They're standing in a line. They're singing songs. They're performing for the parents. It was sweet.
How about the annoying dad with the phone? One of the dads who was acting like he was a paid videographer on a wedding day, like walking down the aisle, walking in front of all the kids with the camera during this ceremony. It's like, dude, get out of the way. Do like the rest of us. Sit at your seat and do the video from there. Like this, I was so annoyed with this guy.
It was super annoying. You know, you hear about road rage all the time. If there's such a thing as pre-K graduation rage, I think there would have been an issue with this guy.
I wanted to like put my foot out and trip him when he was walking down the walkway.
You know, we haven't discussed it until just a second. I know exactly the guy you mean.
Yeah.
It was annoying. It was
rude. And then at one point, the moms, they had all the moms stand up so the kids could do a song for the moms. And like the guy was standing up, videoing all the moms, panning back to the kids. Like, dude.
I know.
Like, just zoom in on your kid. And that's who you're videoing. Like, you're not making a documentary.
There ought to be a law. But to your point, yes, I can easily make fun of the fact that, you know, when you're graduating from grade school now, you have a graduation ceremony. I don't know if that's necessary, but I think it's more necessary in preschool and kindergarten than it is in grade school and middle school. You know, I think if you're the parent of a five-year-old, it's a page turning. Yeah. You know, your child has gone through a thing where they're meeting people for the first time. You know, Grayson has a little crush on a boy, you know, which we always make fun of, and she smiles. It's cute.
If you think about it, like, you know, once she's 20, she's an adult, right? I mean, I know 18 technically, but like, if you just break it down like that, she's like a quarter of the way done being a kid.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? It's just crazy.
I could get sentimental just talking about it if we continued much longer, but I thought it was a sweet, wonderful thing that the school put on today. Yeah. And the teachers, there were 3 or 4 of the main teachers there, or owners of the place maybe.
Yeah.
They were very emotional. They were, you know, it was great. It was sweet.
It was.
And then after that, we had a little family bowling day. And little lunch and bowling. It was a wonderful day. Except when we got to the bowling lane and I embarrassed myself. I used to be a good bowler.
Yeah.
Okay. Before you were born.
140s, 150s?
No. My best average, my best league average was in the mid-160s.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah, I have bowled a 600 scratch series, albeit once in my life.
Same.
I have a high scratch game of 222. I used to be really good, and today we bowled two games, and I'm going to tell you, I bowled a 168, and unfortunately, that was my combined score for my two games. I was horrific. I shot a 77, and then I limped up to a 91.
Well, and mom, rough outing for the patriarchs.
It was just terrible. So I'm admitting, you know, everybody thinks I have an ego and I'm a narcissist. When I take a shit, I admit it. And I was as bad today as I've ever been bowling. And speaking of taking a shit, calmly, my racehorse.
No, wait, I mean, geez, can you slow down? Did you think I gotta come back on a day off by myself? Like, I gotta remedy this. Like, or are you just like, I just suck at bowling now. That's it.
Well, I have never in my life bowled alone. I have never golfed alone. I just don't do that. So I will never bowl alone.
Really?
It's like Jerry Lewis singing "You'll Never Walk Alone" at a muscular dystrophy telethon.
I'll never bowl alone.
That's right. I will never bowl alone.
Why?
Well, I just...
What about the movies?
I will never bowl in the movies alone. What are you talking about?
Well, you wouldn't go to the movies at all with the people.
I have never been to a movie alone. No.
Really?
No.
I've only done it a couple times, but I have done it.
I never have.
It's nice.
When I used to travel a lot, I would never even have dinner alone in a restaurant. I would sit at a sports bar alone and eat. But I'm very self-conscious about doing stuff alone that other people are doing in groups. I don't know. People are looking at me going, that guy's got no friends. He's dining alone. He's bowling alone. He's playing golf alone. What's with that guy?
We're out to dinner often, and generally anytime you're out to dinner at a crowded restaurant, there's just one table where it's just somebody. You could be traveling. Like, you have an explanation for why you're alone. Like, it's just an odd. I enjoy eating by myself, like a lunch, like going into a restaurant, just sitting.
I think lunch is different. Lunch is different. Dinner is what I'm talking about. I don't dine alone for dinner. Like, I would never do that. It's maybe if the restaurant is in a hotel or if it's near an airport, you can be perceived as a traveler and have that cover and get away with doing it.
Yeah.
You know.
Calmly sucks.
Calmly took a big crap today on a track in Milan, Italy.
How many times do horses crap a day?
I tell you what. Other than an elephant, a horse does some stuff on the track. Let me tell you that. So when I say Calmly took a shit, I mean that literally and figuratively. After a huge win in her last race, she ran today in conditions that were not ideal for her in the Oaks d'Italia and finished third to last. Not sure how many horses were in the race. Typically, it's 8 to 12 or so. So she finished third to last. Not a good result for my horse.
Luckily for you, Calmly has no clue it was in a race.
You'd be surprised. Horses know.
You don't know.
They're competitive.
You don't know what the horses know.
I do. I know. The horses are competitive.
God.
No, they really are. Some of them have blinders on.
You're the guy that would walk up behind a horse and pet it on its ass and get kicked.
No, I would not.
You're trying to, like, everything I say about horses, you have an answer for now. Like, you're some expert all of a sudden. Like, you're Hank Goldberg over here.
Hank Gregberg. I have been in the company of thoroughbred racehorses at Gulfstream, and I've been very close to them.
Like, what do you mean? I went to horse camp. Me and Sabrina Fierro went to some horse camp when I was like 10.
That's true. That's funny. I'd forgotten about that. No, I respect horses. I don't get near them. They frighten me. They're gigantic, huge animals.
They could
kill me with a kick.
Yeah, they could.
They really could. All right, we're gonna wrap it up. We've had a lot of fun this episode. Appreciate y'all.
I'm going to Vegas.
I know you are. That's crazy. I want you to bring me back a nugget, not a Denver nugget, but a nugget from Vegas that is exclusive to the Greg Cody Show podcast. and you can share it.
A nugget?
Oh, a nugget. A pearl. You were like,
I thought for a second there you thought I was going to watch the basketball game in.
No.
But then you said Vegas, so it's like nuggets.
A pearl. Bring me back a pearl.
What are you saying? You know, I'm not buying anything for you.
Okay, just a pearl of information. A pearl of, you know, that kind of thing. All right.
You're annoying.
All right, podcast family, thank you very much. We'll see you next week. Appreciate y'all.
I always get nervous the day before I fly, so I love you.
I love you too, son. Call me when you get there.
I'll text you.
Okay.